First to Iraq, where the death toll from nationwide anti-government protests continues to rise after a weekend of violent clashes. At least 60 people were killed and hundreds more injured during a bloody crackdown and an overnight raid in Baghdad's central Tahrir Square on Sunday. The protesters are calling for more jobs and better living conditions, but their key demand is the resignation of Prime Minister Adil Abdul Mahdi Adel. Faisal Istrabadi is a former ambassador to the United Nations and director of the Indiana University's Center for the Study of the Middle East. Welcome back to RN Breakfast, Professor Istrabadi.
It's a pleasure to be with you again. Good morning, your time.
Yes, indeed.
Good afternoon, mine.
Indeed. Now, this is the second wave of anti-government protests in Iraq this month alone. The Iraqi people are clearly in revolt, as is occurring in various parts of the Middle East. But can the government continue to hang on?
That of course is the question. The issue is it's not clear what happens if the government resigns. This government came together as a compromise because the parliamentary parties could not agree on who should be the prime minister. So a man who had been, among other things, a former vice president of Iraq, a former minister in a previous government, but who had been retired for a number of years and had not run for parliament, was not a member of any party, didn't have any followers, but was in fact in retirement, was asked to form a government a year ago, and he did. But again, he was a compromise candidate because the parliamentary parties couldn't agree between them who should assume the role. So if the government resigns, if Prime Minister Abdul Mahdi resigns, it isn't at all clear who would take his place. And that could indeed lead to further chaos. I think the Prime Minister is right to have said that this past week.
Yes, but that sounds like a sort of failure of process if they had to reach for a man like that.
No doubt about that. I mean, I'm certainly not going to defend the current Iraqi sort of political class and the current problems that Iraq faces. You're absolutely right about that. It is a failure of process. But nonetheless, that's where we are. So that if you do have a resignation of the prime minister and of the government, you could actually throw us. And remember, it took months after the last election to get to the current government. So if you do have a resignation, you are potentially throwing Iraq truly into a period of chaos for months to come, 5 or 6 months perhaps, which is about how long it took after the last elections to put this government in place. Yes, certainly, it's a process failure. It's ultimately a failure of the, you could say, of the political system in Iraq, the post-2003 political system. I quite agree with you there.
What is also concerning is who they used to stop the demonstrators. Counter-terrorism force, I think this sort of special division, which is responsible for protecting the green zone. But how concerning is this development?
Extremely concerning. The entire response of the security apparatus and potentially the prime minister himself is deeply concerning. The demonstrations were largely peaceful. Generally, it has been on the side of the security forces that have been the originators of the violence against otherwise generally peaceful demonstrators. These were ordinary Iraqis, mostly youth, protesting a very high and unsustainably high unemployment amongst Iraqi youth and a lack of opportunity. It's deeply disturbing that the current government used force in confronting these demonstrators who were, after all, exercising their constitutional right of free assembly and freedom of speech. So it's very disturbing, and it's a deeply disturbing precedent.
What is interesting is who turned up to those protests. I mean, they are saying that they're determined to topple the regime, but women came out and, you know, even the classic little old ladies apparently joined the protest yesterday.
They did.
So are we seeing a new development there?
Well, it may very well be. I was reading reports in the media just this morning that, some of the other faculties, for instance, I mean students in various faculties, pharmacies, schools, and what have you, voted to join the demonstrators and have actually been out in the streets as well. One of the fears that I have is that as you correctly noted, the death toll has been mounting. There's a horrific toll of injured, by the way. The official number is something like 6,000, going back to the beginning of the demonstrations at the beginning of the month. One of the fears I have is that those facts, the number killed and the number injured, will become an independent basis for egging the demonstrators back onto the streets. And then it assumes an entirely different character. It becomes a rejection of the political process in Iraq. It may not be working terribly well, but on the other hand, it seems to be the only game in town. And so if you get demonstrators who, in response to the overreaction and the unjustifiable overreaction of the security forces to the demonstrations, if that becomes an independent basis for the demonstrations, then we're truly headed toward chaos in Iraq.
Now, what is interesting is why this government has descended in public appreciation to the degree that it has. Some are labelling Ahmadi's government as worse than that of Saddam Hussein. Now, surely the security establishment hasn't ramped up the way it was under Saddam Hussein's regime. And what are they getting at?
Well, clearly that's a rhetorical excess, and you hear those things from Iraqis, and you hear it out of a sense of understandable frustration, although it is a rhetorical excess. Obviously, we don't have the efficient and brutal police state in Iraq today that we had under Saddam Hussein's tender mercies. He was responsible for the deaths of at least 1 million Iraqis over the time that he ruled Iraq. We clearly are not in that league by any stretch of the imagination. He was one of the most brutal tyrants of the last quarter of the 20th century. That said, what you're seeing is a history of failure on the post-2003 dispensation of successive corrupt governance of a political elite which is disconnected from its constituents.
So it's a management issue, really.
Well, it's more than just management. It's conceptually a problem. There's a science fiction story where the rulers of a planet live in a city built in the clouds, and ordinary people live on the surface of the planet. That's a perfect metaphor for the Iraqi political class versus ordinary Iraqis, and that's been true for 16 years now. And I think average Iraqis, and when I say average, I mean we're talking about graduates of medical schools, graduate of engineering schools, now, as I said, pharmaceutical and other faculty graduates are joining them in the streets. I mean, these are truly the educated class of Iraqis, as well as others who are now taking to the streets because they see no opportunity for them. They look at the neighbors who and see the strides, say, that Gulf states have made over the last 30 years, and see how far back Iraq has fallen, while they perceive a sort of a disconnected political class ruling. And unfortunately, this has now come to redound against the current government paying a price for the last 16 years.
Look, I'll just ask you quickly, because at the moment they're spontaneous leaderless protests, but can you see any leaders emerging then from this obviously very interesting group you're describing?
Well, it's possible, of course, that there will be some leaders. And I think the government is trying to look for leaders, somebody they can sit down and negotiate with. My fear is that the environment is quite ripe for demagoguery and for the rise of a demagogue who can try to get out in front of the parade. Look, there are a lot of problems in Iraq. One of the success stories in Iraq is that it has made, however imperfectly, strides towards better democratization over the last 16 years. There have been some successes there. My fear is that the situation now is so volatile that a demagogue can, in fact, get out in front of the parade and take things over and return us to an era of less democracy, perhaps towards
despotic
more dictatorship.
Regimes.
So I do fear that precisely. This is the kind of environment from which that kind of thing can arise.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Faisal Astrabadi is a former ambassador to the UN and director of Indiana University's Center for the Study of the Middle East.